And good morning. Good morning to all of you. You are, hi, how are you? I want everyone, I'm good, thank you, very good. And I want to let people know that you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, and my guest is Renee Whitlock. And Renee is an entrepreneur, a professional soap maker, and founder of the Soap Making School in Vancouver, Canada. And as it happens, she's in New York City this weekend, so I feel this is a great time to have this conversation. Welcome, Renee, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Thanks, Catherine. I'm very honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you on as a guest this morning. And what I wanted to start with, perhaps, is going maybe a little bit back in time with all of your work. Now, I didn't mention that you're also a Reiki practitioner, and that mm-hmm. in your work of soap making, you combine your Reiki practice in with your practice of products that you make, which includes soap and other kinds of body health producing products, you know, things that we can use to enhance our health and well-being. But I would like to take a step further back maybe and have you talk to us about how you made this journey to become a professional soap maker and to have your school. There must have been some motivation a while back to come in this direction, and I'd really like to start there if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, let's go back to the 80s. I'm 50 now, but in the 80s, I really discovered my love for essential oils and natural scents rather than the fragrance oil that you see so often out there. So in the 80s, I decided that I was going to get into the aromatherapy side, and I took quite a few courses in that and became an aromatherapist, but I kind of felt like there was something more to what I wanted to do. And I think you would probably describe me as back then probably a collector of hobbies. So I tried mm-hmm. everything. I've made paper and sewing, knitting, everything like that. But I always felt like I was always pulled towards essences and scents. So I kept going with that aromatherapy and discovered that I was actually pretty good at explaining things. So early in the 90s, I actually started a Yahoo group. That was when this first started being a big thing, and this was before YouTube and all those different groups. But I had a group started in the 90s, and that was with the U.S. and Canada as the members. And we basically shared some information on aromatherapy, and I started thinking about what kind of vehicle could I use for my aromatherapy, because there's only so much you can do with different oils and such. And since I had a background in entrepreneurship already, I had taken my degree in business, I always knew that I was going to end up being my own boss. I just always liked making my own rules. And I've always wanted to just do my own thing. I think probably Oprah has been my role model for years and years, and I've always loved her. And I've always seen her doing her own thing and just following her own intuition and going with it. So when I was forming this group, I tended to share a lot of information with this group, and they looked to me for trying to explain specific techniques. So that's generally where I got started with just sharing that information. And it just became part of my life from there. It actually took on a life of its own. I had no idea where this was going to go.
Mm. Well, that's very often how things work out when we are really, like you said, following that intuition and following our own calling to do something, or even just a way that we are called to do it. It leads us to very interesting outcomes. So how did you decide to graduate from the aromatherapy to the specific products of creating products for the skin and for makeup and things like that?
Well, I think it basically started with that Yahoo group and just talking about different things we can do with those aromatherapy products that we create. I did find this old Farmer's Almanac book in one of the libraries, and it was talking about making soap and how it actually, the process began and how to actually make the soap. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. I wonder if I should try something like that. And that's really how it started. And it was amazing to me.
It blossomed.
Like I said, yeah.
And so your Yahoo group, in a way, eventually became, I suppose, your school.
You know what? I think so, because everyone in the group told me I was really good at explaining techniques. And so it started, I guess, with a few friends coming over at a time, and I explained how to do this and that, and they brought more friends over, and pretty soon I was having little meetings in my kitchen every Saturday morning. And it just grew from there. Then I decided, well, I was going to put it out there that I really wanted to start getting into more of a commercial aspect of this, not just a hobby. So I was, at the time, I was part of the Girl Guides of Canada. I guess, would it be Girl Scouts? Maybe in the U.S., I'm not sure. They're affiliated anyway. We had a little craft show that was happening one Christmas, and I brought my soaps with me, and I thought, okay, let's just see how other people feel about it. And I was actually discovered. I was discovered by the Vancouver Airport gift shop, which was a huge deal. I mean, there's international travelers constantly. And she asked me if I was interested in supplying the store with soap. And I thought, okay, this is really strange because this is like a dream come true. So I started that way, and I formed my business, Mother Earth Creations. It went from there. Basically, I got my business license. I just started supplying them. Unfortunately, she was replaced by someone who wanted a more international line. So I eventually left the airport gift shop, but it also opened up a whole bunch of different avenues for me.
Well, you know, that's really interesting, and I love the hearing about this, because I think that very often people don't realize that when they choose to take a certain path or follow a certain inspiration, that there's an organic way in which things can develop. And when we are putting our energy into it and putting our heart into something, that there is almost a universal support that rises up and takes us on incremental steps along the journey so that we can reach a more expansive place in that work that we're doing. And I'm wondering if you could speak to that, because I know that you're offering up a course coming up, actually starting today and this weekend, in which people might want to consider that this is a way for them to break out into entrepreneurship, and even if they're starting small. But, you know, if you could just speak to that nature of how things have unfolded for you, so people could feel perhaps that this is something that they too could experience.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that everything in life is interconnected. And I happen to have been doing a show in 2000, which introduced me to Reiki. It was a wellness show, but I brought my soaps, and I was there with a friend who did metaphysical jewelry as well. And being metaphysical from the very beginning, I've always felt this interesting pull towards things that you could not really see, and the feelings that you get and following your intuition. I was introduced to a Reiki master, and for the next 3 years I studied Reiki with him, and I became a Reiki master in 2003, and I think it's such a part of my life that I don't even think about it anymore. It's just absolutely part of everything I do. So even before a class begins, I cleanse the room. Like, it's automatic. I can't even start to think about talking until I actually cleanse the room. I cleanse it with yellow. I cleanse it with orange. So yellow being, you know, being very close to your intuition and your self-confidence, and all those things that are going to help you make decisions, and also the orange chakra, which I consider to be about creativity, and those two chakras together, I fill the room with those colors, and people notice it. And when they walk in and they have a class, they feel like it's a sanctuary for them. So that's always been important to me. And when it comes to talking to people about starting their soap making, I always make it very clear to them that, yeah, it's a great path to do, but it's also a business. And if you're not a business person, you're going to have a very hard time getting it off the ground. Like I tell them, just because you can make a sandwich doesn't mean you should open a restaurant. You can do it as a hobby, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, so people don't realize. I get emails from all over the world. Oh, I have to do this right now. I have to start this business. Well, do you know how to run a business? Do you know how to advertise? Where's your revenue going to come from? How are you going to start with your capital? All of those things. And if it's part of what you do already, then it'll be a natural progression, and it'll come to you. But yeah, it's a really strange path, and life is just, it's one adventure after another. Even though you might think something is really bad, oh, that was a horrible experience, I can take those experiences and I can take them to a class and say, oh, do not do that because you're going to get this result. So you always kind of learn as you go along. That's just life, right?
Exactly. And it all begins to come together in a tapestry that allows you to reach higher levels of professionalism, but also to experience a real joy in what you're doing. If we could take a step back for just a minute, and for people who are not too familiar, because we kind of jumped into this, on the effect of some of the, you know, having these natural products, to be able to use these oils and scents and soaps. And so speak about it from the perspective of well-being, in terms of spiritual well-being, physical well-being, and how it might be more advantageous than using over-the-counter chemical products, or I meant to say commercial, but it came out chemical.
Right.
But you know what I mean, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, to me, when I make my soap, I have to be in the right state of mind. I have an actual line called Intention Soap, and each of those soaps, they actually have a stone in it. So, for example, the citrine. Citrine is about starting new adventures, bringing, you know, fruition, making things happen, entrepreneurship, for one. So in this soap, if I'm not feeling overly joyous or overly abundant, I can't make that soap. So I don't. So I'll do something else. So I'll go wash, you know, I'll wash the pots and get ready for another class. But I have to have, I have to be in that state of mind. And everything that I do and everything that I teach everyone else during the class to do is really think about what you want in that product. This is, these are all your decisions. You need to be sure that that's what you want in there. If you don't feel good about putting palm in your soap, do not do it. For example, palm oil. I've never chosen to use palm oil. It just always felt wrong to me, even though I didn't know what the consequences were. And now I do. It's very important to me to choose the things that go into my soap. For my soap in general, it's all organic. I never use fragrance oil because I don't think it has the energy that I want to have put into my soap. I do a specific line for my classes as well, and it's different chakra soaps. So if you want a specific, if you're working through something, maybe, you know, you're having issues speaking your truth, maybe you'll want to focus on your throat chakra. Maybe that's the one that is going to go into your soap. But I always encourage people to do their own choosing and to not ask me for advice, because it has to come from them when they're making their soap. It's very important mm-hmm. to me that every decision they make comes from them.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. And so there has to be, in this process, some learning curve for people who don't understand the meaning of the colors, the meaning of the stones, the meanings of the scent. So
right.
Can you give us a little bit of a sort of a mini lesson on what scents are effective for which desires or emotions or healing and stones and how they correlate?
Okay.
That would be very helpful, I think, for our listeners.
Okay, well, before I actually decide on the essence, I ask for guidance from my guides. And mm-hmm. even though possibly that essential oil has nothing to do with that specific chakra, I let it guide me. When I smell something, how do I feel? Do I feel empowered? Do I feel sad? Like, what is it about that scent that appeals to me? For example, sunshine. Sunshine's all about feeling good and the yellow chakra and bringing hope and inspiration, like inspiring yourself. Whereas I find the very basic essential oils, so the grounding essential oils, those would be patchouli and sandalwood and things that just kind of bring you back down to earth. Everybody already knows, even though they don't know what these essences do, they know what they do for them. So when they smell something specific, I ask them, you know, shut your eyes and think about, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel empowered? Does that make you feel sad? Like, what is it about that scent that inspires you to use it? And a lot of times they already know inside. We all know. This, all we have to do mm-hmm. is open that door. And I find essences do that for us. They open doors for us because there's nothing stronger than your sense of smell as a memory recall. I don't mm-hmm. know if you know that, but it's crazy how an essence, a smell, can bring you right back where nothing else can.
Yeah. And so in many ways, you're suggesting that as people experiment with the sense, that they just trust their own natural reference point to wherever
that set takes them.
And so it could really take them to a place in their own body that it resonates with, or it might take them to an experience or something that's going on in their life, or it might take them to any number of things. So,
or something they need to work out, for sure, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense to me, and it's really very helpful to liberate people in a way from following the specific.
Well, yeah, I mean, this comes from them. They know better than anyone what they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds wonderful. And so let's talk a bit about the classes that you're offering that are going to be coming up in, I guess today you have a class, don't you? Later at the Open Center.
I have a class. I do. That one is full. That's all about natural makeup. So we stay away from chemical-based ingredients, and we go completely with things like bamboo charcoal and natural indigo, rice powder, clays that bring out the right tone in our skin. We're also going to be doing lip glosses without petroleum products, which is very hard to find nowadays. There seems to be a trend towards making your lip gloss last longer. Nobody needs lip gloss that lasts longer than your great-grandchildren. So, right? So, keep it natural. Use it quickly and then move on. We're also making eyeliner tonight, and I really love this class because this is something that I learned, I know, going way back into the 80s, back in grade 8. When we learned about color matching and finding your warmer or cold or cool tones, and it's actually a pretty interesting class. And tomorrow, which is the Saturday, which is the cold process class, that's where you learn the very basics. A lot of people learn soap making over the internet, but not everyone wants you to succeed. So sometimes there's certain things missing from those recipes. I give you a lot of hints on how to make successful soap, and that we stay natural, and there is a way to stay natural, even with bubbles, and, you actually can have bubbles in natural soap. You don't have to have that flat, oily-feeling soap that you sometimes find, but we stay away from chemicals and palm oil. We only go with organics. And it actually, your skin improves. It completely improves. I've seen miracles because some people who have eczema, psoriasis, they have never had any relief from these horrible skin issues. And once they start making their soap, starting very basic, it goes away. It goes away naturally because it's not what you actually put on your skin that keeps these issues away. It's what you don't put on your skin. So leaving things out like fragrance oils and harsh chemicals and the colors that should be banned from the market, but they still aren't. Leaving those out are the things that make a difference for your skin. I'm 50, and I actually look like I could be in my early 30s. So... This is all to do with the soap I use. That's all I can say is just stay natural. Keep those chemicals out because, to tell you the truth, the industry is protected by trade secrets. So we don't actually get to know what's in the products we buy. We don't get to know that because soap is a wash-off product. And wash-off products don't fall under any of those categories that cosmetics, pharmaceuticals, food, none of those industries actually have anything to do with soap. As long as it's a wash-off product, they don't fall under any of those categories, which is kind of scary because they put things in there like sulfate of soda, which is actually used in the concrete making industry.
Oh, my.
To harden. Yeah. So, but we don't get to know those things because they don't have to tell us. They tell us the very basics about what's in our soap. That's it. So scary. Hmm. It's very scary. And the only way that we really can protect ourselves is to do it ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I want to go into this a little bit deeper, but just to make sure that people can jot down that information. If you want to go to the Saturday workshop, which is actually a sort of two-part certification course, because you're going to be back again in
on
to help with that, so that people can continue the work. But it's Saturday, August 27th, from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And it's you can go to the website opencenter.org or call the Open Center at 212-219-2527, 212-219-2527. So people can connect with that class on Saturday. It's not too late. But you were saying that the Friday workshop is
tonight
full.
Is full. Yeah, but there is a Sunday part two of the soap making. If you want to continue on, we actually make a shampoo bar in that class, which is fabulous. That's all I use for my hair, and it's changed it dramatically.
Okay, so there are still quite a few options for people who want to learn more about making their own organic products and taking care of their own skin. And so as we're going forward, I know that you are teach ongoing classes in Canada, in your own hometown, and but this is a rare opportunity for people who are in New York to get that one-on-one contact with you and to learn how to make these products. Can you speak for a minute about how difficult or easy it is to make some of these products and what people might expect in perhaps going down this path?
Okay, well, first of all, I do have an online program as well. There's 70 videos in all, and I just walk you through everything from soaping to lotion making, and I'm also available through email and on my forum to help out if there's any issues that come up. But basically, soap making is like baking, and I find a lot of men are attracted to soap making because it's very foody. It's, you've got that scent, and you've got the measuring and specific steps that you need to take. I will make sure. I don't know how many people I've taught to make soap. I really don't. Thousands, but I can't really put a number on how many batches of soap I've seen come across my eyes. But basically, I've never seen anyone fail, and I will never, never see anyone fail. We will make it right, and if the soap doesn't turn out, we'll do it again, and we know right away if it's not going to turn out. So I've very rarely had anyone have to make another batch of soap because it didn't turn out. And when you get your soap and you try it, you will never go back. It's crazy how beautiful it makes you feel.
Well, speak to that for a moment. You spoke a little bit about the health benefits, and I think that's really important for people to consider just how much it's going to have an impact on their overall well-being physically. But also there is the emotional and the spiritual connection with the energy of the soap. So what difference or what testimonials have you gotten from people on the kind of impact that it had in their lives? Can you give us some examples of that?
All right. So, wow, so many. It changes everything about you. The way I see people when they first come into class, And then when they come back for another class, they look different. They act different. They're softer. They're more open. They're not quite as curious. They're more excited. It's a very addictive way of creating. You can't stop thinking about it. You want to try this. You want to try that. It changes. I've seen people come into my class, and they looked, I know this sounds a little dramatic, but they looked like they've got nothing. They have nothing to look forward to. When I see them come back, they are different. They're excited. They have created something that is not only something that is, you know, essential for cleaning your body, but it's essential to their emotions. They're excited about the next scent they're going to create or the next color they're going to explore. It's crazy how it's touched my life so much just by seeing how it's changed their life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to explain it.
No, I think that's a good way of really of put it there, because you're looking at it from your vantage point, and you're able to witness the change that takes place, and you're also really conveying a kind of creative joy in doing this kind of work, this kind of creation. So for people mm-hmm. who, you know, some people are painters, other people are sculptors, some people write music, and then I'm beginning to feel that this process is elevating into a form of creative expression that, you know, is functional like
art.
So that's really pretty special as well. And as we, you know, we're going to continue for a few more minutes, and I really would love if you could go back a little bit to this process, because I'm really seeing this as a form of creative expression. I'm seeing it mm-hmm. also as a form of healing, you know, how to keep mm-hmm. yourself healthy by the preventing all the bad chemicals and processing, natural processing, but also as a form of entrepreneurship and moving into independence as a lifestyle. I think that so many people these days are losing their jobs or they're very unhappy in their jobs, and they do want to find another way of making a living. So as mm-hmm. people may be coming to your workshop for that purpose, you know, maybe starting in their communities, can you speak to specifically the business aspect of it, and what really are the things that people need to consider and look at if they want to really move into this kind of a business?
Okay, absolutely. So the way I look at soap making and soap making as a business is, as long as people are walking into a drugstore and buying soap off a shelf, there is room for more of us, because they don't realize and they have not been taught the benefits of natural soap. There are so many different avenues you can take. So a lot of people come to my class thinking, oh, you know what, I'm just going to have fun and do this. Then they come back to me and say, I got my business license. I've got this show on the road. I got that show on the road. I'm opening up a store. And I look at them and they've come so far because they had no idea that this was going to create this kind of life for them. But as far as being specific about soaping as a business, you have to know exactly what you want to do with it. You can't just say, I want to be a soaper. I want to make pretty products. I want to have a good time with this. You have to be specific. Do you want to cater to the bed and breakfast industry? There's a huge market out there. Bed and breakfasts are always looking for very natural, beautiful products that have their name engraved in it. Simple, simple to do. All you have to do is just have a stamp made and just stamp it right onto your soap. And also for wedding gifts, like not wedding gifts, but wedding little gifts you give to people
favors,
as they're leaving.
Like
right?
Party favors,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Wedding favors, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are not giving little bags of mints away anymore. They're actually getting their soap made, and they're having their names engraved in it. Same thing. Very simple to have a stamp made and just have it dealt with. Also, maybe the pet industry. You know, the pet industry is huge. Dogs have fur for a reason. It's because their skin is more sensitive than ours. We don't really take that into perspective when we're washing our dogs with sodium lauryl sulfate or other basic detergents, right? We don't think mm-hmm. about that. But when your dog starts to react to things, you go look for something more natural. So there's that whole industry there. I could just go on and on. Like, there are just so many avenues, because soap is an essential item in our life. You can't be without soap, and you probably want to use it more than once a day, I hope. So there's always that, always that perspective. Like, what exactly do you want to do with your soap? Where do you want to go with it? How do you want it to be part of your life? Maybe you're a honey, maybe you're a honey farm. Maybe you want to make a specific type of soap for your specific honey. Maybe you run a winery, wine soap, beer soap, things like that. They're huge right now. Every winery that you walk into in Canada, they've got their own version of their own soap. A lot of them have come to my classes and learned how to make that soap themselves. But basically, it's endless. I can't even wrap my brain around the different things you can do once you learn how to make soap.
Well, that's very inspiring because, you know, people can find something perhaps that is specific to them, or they can focus, as you said, find a focus. And then what would be the next advice you'd offer people once they decide on their niche, so to speak?
Well, figure out where your capital is going to come from. You need some sort of startup funds. So if you have somebody that will encourage you and maybe help you out along the way, or maybe you just want to hold on to your day job and do this at night, you know, you can do this at night. You can go online. You can create a website that sells your products when you're at work, things like that. Like the whole online world is... it's just opened up so much, and people really are exploring that side as well. So start small. Start small. Buy what you need, and then choose one ingredient that you want to focus on, that you want to actually build inventory on, and buy more of that one next time. Double up on your inventory of that particular item. Don't introduce 20 different soaps at once. If you're making soap, start out with 5 and then keep that inventory going, and then add another one and then another one until you're happy with your whole line. But never ever start out making soap and lotion and bath bombs and bath tea and bath salt and oils, and it's just overwhelming. You have to start out small and then grow.
Excellent, excellent advice. Thank you. And I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. This is the Progressive Radio Network. My guest is Renee Whitlock, and she is a professional soap maker for 18 years, founder of the Soap Making School in Vancouver, Canada, and she gives trainings to a worldwide audience on natural, rainforest-friendly soap making and cosmetics. She is a Reiki master and has created her own line of Reiki-infused chakra blends. You can connect with her this weekend at the New York Open Center and go to their website, opencenter.org, www.opencenter.org. And you can actually go and check out her own website at soapmakingschool.com. Is that correct? And do you have another website?
Yes.
If people want to actually check out your products?
Yes. I have Karma Suds as well.
Karma Suds. Okay, what is it, KarmaSense.com?
Yeah, KarmaSense.com.
Okay, well, that's really wonderful. We're just about done with our interview. For those of you who want to engage in this process, there is a workshop on, I believe, Saturday and Sunday at the Open Center. Cold press organic handmade soap making colorful swirls and skin healing blends. So that's part one is on Saturday and part two is Sunday, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yep, same
okay.
time.
Excellent. So do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with folks?
Wow, so many thoughts, but I think... give it a try. Give soap making a try. You will not believe how interesting your life can become. It's incredible how you can grow from just something so simple.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being with me today, Renee Whitlock. And she is from the this beautiful process, the Soap Making School. soapmakingschool.com, find out more information, or you can go to the Open Center for this weekend's course. Bye for now. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few moments after these announcements. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Radio Network.
This is Mike Fader. Let me tell you about PRN.FM. It's a whole new world of broadcasting. PRN has absolutely no question the best political and economic shows on the radio. Plus, PRN tops every other station in its health and wellness program. Cooking, music, book reviews, sex advice, you name it, we have it. I'm going to tell you this one time. You need to listen to our programming, okay? All right? Don't make me come down here.
Hi, I'm David Crow, host of The Infectious Myth, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.FM. I love science the way it should be practiced, but a lot of modern science is corrupted by financial interests and serves a master other than the public good. Myths continue to be constructed around viruses, vaccines, forensics, and pharmaceutical drugs. People are dying and ending up in jail because of them. Listen to me as I deconstruct the myths that those who call themselves scientists weave, or when I wander into social and political topics. If you're new to the show, check out our past episodes at infectiousmyth.podbean.com.
And welcome back. Welcome back. And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio. And I'm Catherine Davis. This is the Progressive Radio Network. I thought that was a really fascinating conversation. And I was very much interested, not just in the soap making, but beyond that, this whole idea of becoming a entrepreneur and becoming self-sustaining in that way. And I'm finding that people are having to do this more and more and more just in order to get by. But beyond that, this is a wonderful choice for how we can really transform our lives on a different level. And as I look at what Renee has been doing, and she's taking her basic skills, her basic interests, and pulling that together into a marketable product, and then expanding that product into an offering that can be much more commercially viable, by offering something holistic and healthy and wonderful. And I am really
going to be looking a lot more into this, because I actually think that this is the wave of the future, that we as individuals need to create our own ways of having business and functioning in the world to sustain ourselves and our family. But on the other side of that, we want to collaborate in a marketplace that allows us to have this kind of interaction and exchange of what we're doing. So I am looking to invite those of you who are interested in really expanding on this idea to connect with me, so that we can collaborate and create the kind of marketplace that allows us to inform each other of what's happening in our world. Perhaps you're a healer, perhaps you're a teacher, perhaps you're a soap maker. Locally, you'll take this class and you'll want to start your own business. But there needs to be a way where we can find that connection. And of course, the internet gives us a great viability for that, to make that connection so that we can, in some ways, bypass the supermarket for our own self-generated markets. So I look forward to your connecting with me on that level. And you can do that through email or by phone. And my number for the connection by phone is very easily 347-480-1694. That's 347-480-1694. And you can always connect through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I am discovering, I'm putting this out there, and I have a number of times, and I'm putting it again because I have discovered and have come to realize that there really needs to be a community in what we do, what we create, and how we interact in the world. We do need some kind of sustaining support, and that support can be psychological, emotional, spiritually based. That support can also be economically based. But also, there's a way where we can share understanding and knowledge to help each other. So there may be someone there who wants to come together because they know about business practices and bookkeeping. And that may be what they want to bring to the shared marketplace. Someone else may have a particular skill for sculpting or self-healing or jewelry making, and that would be what they want to bring to the unified sharing and marketplace. So if we can begin to collaborate on this level of self being self-sustaining, but also of creating a specific local economy, because as our world begins to tremble with the changes in the stock market and with the overpreponderance of debt and the impact that that has on businesses and employment opportunities, I think that we can really begin to create a integrative, self-sustaining, supportive network environment in which we can come to thrive by whatever we're doing, by bringing that unified focus. So I'm really hoping that some of you will engage in these ideas so that we can enter into a conversation about it, not initially on the radio, but maybe through a phone conferencing call, and we can talk about how to put together this mutually sustaining network that will begin to create economies within our community of health practitioners, activists, whatever it is that we're doing, and creating that individualized, localized economy as a way of
thriving in the greater world. Because if you think about it, people are very much becoming or have become in many ways enslaved to the debt economy. Many people are in debt. They own a lot of credit cards. There's a lot of interest being paid. But there needs to be a way in which we can collectively begin to reduce that dependence on the debt economy, pull our resources out of that economy, and begin to build economies in which we can sustain our own lives and livelihoods so that we're not giving our dollars to the very institutions that would manipulate and enslave us through those mechanisms. And it's something that for all of us we'd have to do in a incremental way. So some who are gainfully employed would keep that employment and think about what business they want to create in their part-time. But there are a lot of us who are not working in the 9-to-5 world and are already creating our ideas and our businesses and our products to put into the world. I mean, and we're talking about healthy, life-affirming potential in what we're bringing into the world. And then as we create these digital marketplaces, we can cross-promote them and reach out to each other and to each other's communities in a way that is holistic and building this self-sustaining economies. And I happen to believe that this is the way to move forward before the larger economies crash in a fundamental way. I'm not predicting that. This is what I hear right here on the Progressive Radio Network. I hear Gary Noll and I hear other hosts talking about the real challenges that are potential for us in our world and global economies. And I believe that we need to set the stage for a local economy in which we can begin to circulate our dollars such that they are amongst the local economy so that we can create thriving communities, allowing our own industry to thrive through mutual and shared support. So if you're interested in having that conversation, please do give me a call or connect by email. Again, my number is 347-480-1694, and my email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And from my personal perspective, my work is that as an energy healer, mystic energy healer, shamanic healing, and as a teacher of movement meditation based on the traditional Chinese system of Qigong. So that's my personal offering, but there are so many of us in the world and so many communities within our reach that there's room for all of us to bring what we can bring to this local economy and community of mutual support. I invite you to join me in that. Also coming up this weekend, I'll be continuing with offering a free Qigong meditation class in the Bronx, and it's part of a three-pronged outreach program with the Bronx Reach Champs. And this Saturday, August 27th, we will be in Poe Park in the Bronx, and that is located on the Grand Concourse between 192nd Street and Kingsbridge Road. And at 10 a.m. till 11 a.m., I will be offering a free meditation Qigong movement class. It's gentle movement in the manner of Tai Chi, but it's more focused internally, inwardly, towards your own healing and well-being. At 11 a.m., Chef Wilson will be offering a talk on healthy eating. She was at the park with us last week, Saturday, and actually had a beautiful soup, gazpacho soup, for everyone to to eat. So I'm looking forward to whatever treats you might have us for us this coming weekend. And then from 11:30 to 12:30, there's a physical fitness workout with Nanamdi Nelson, and that's where you're using resistance training with bands and working to move your body. It's a wonderful opportunity at Poe Park in the Bronx, and you can take the 4 train to Fordham Road, Jerome Avenue, and it's a half a mile east towards Grand Concourse, or you could take the D train to Fordham Road and Grand Concourse in the Bronx, or the Bronx BX1 or BX2. So we look forward to seeing you there if you can make it on Saturday the 27th. Again, if you have questions, you can call me at my information line, and that number is 347-480-1694. Or heartofmineradio@gmail.com. You can make that connection. And I invite you to stay tuned for this program, Heart of Mind Radio, every Friday morning over the Progressive Radio Network at 10 a.m. And coming next month in September the 21st, we'll have our next meeting of the Heart of Mind Spiritual Support Group. It's here in Brooklyn as well. For those of you who want to travel or are in the neighborhood, you can join us for that mutual support. I want to thank you for joining me today over Heart of Mind Radio. I invite you to stay tuned to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, for more great programming throughout the day. And remember, you can go to our page on the website, PRN.FM, search for Heart of Mind Radio, and you'll be able to find all the information about this and previous shows. You can listen and download anything that you desire from that website. Stay tuned and have a beautiful weekend. Bye for now.